I welcome all of you affectionately for this last Gaura Lila evening during our stay here. And I want to narrate one of my favorite pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. The greatness of any person can be defined by what he aspires for. What is the ideal? What is the goal? Let us stop judging people according to what they presently are. And let us honor them according to what they strive for, what they aspire for, what is the goal in their heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his stay on this planet Earth, made many journeys. One of it is his journey to Jagannath Puri, where the Lord stays in his form as Lord Jagannath. He had described what was in his heart, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you can see why he made this journey, because it is absolutely consistent with his aspiration. Nadanam, he says, I don't want wealth. Najanam, I don't want to have followers. Nasundarim, I don't want to have a beautiful female companion. Kavitam, I don't care for poetic words. All I wish for, all I aspire for, is to render devotional service to the Lord, the Jagat Ishvara, or the Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, life after life. On the way to Puri, there is a very important pastime taking place. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at the temple of Sakshi Gopal, the Lord who was bearing witness for one of his devotees. Let us quickly remember this pastime. There had been a young Brahmana on pilgrimage to Vrindavan, who met up with an older, somewhat slowly walking Brahmana and assisted him throughout the journey, cooking, arranging the bedding, being helpful to find a place to bathe. The older Brahmana reached only by the help of the young, the sacred town of Vrindavan, and there visited a beautiful deity, the deity of Gopal. He was hugely built, strongly built, strong legs, as if he was appreciate football. Modern language. This deity had miraculously moved all the way from Vrindavan to near Puri. Listen how this came. The Brahmana had been so overwhelmed with gratitude that he wanted to give some present, some token of his gratitude to this beautiful, this wonderful young Brahmana. So the old Brahmana said, I have a very nice daughter. She's a marriageable age. She is a good soul. She will absolutely support you in your life's journey. The young Brahmana said, this cannot be. You are of such a high caste, and I'm in such a low social position. Your family will object to your desire. But the old man was so adamant that he said, no, I'm the head of the family. I will convince them. Do not worry. So the Brahmana, seeing how is the young Brahmana, seeing how insistent the older was and not wanting to object to the advice of a senior person, agreed. When they came home, the Brahmana told his family. The family immediately flared up. He's so poor. He's so good for nothing, Brahmana. Only studies. Doesn't make money. He's not suitable to be the husband of our wife. Yes, said the old Brahmana. Now I see it through your eyes. But I promised. It's a sacred promise. It was done in the holy land of Vrindavan before Gopal. He was the witness. Ah, said the young Brahmana. Said the son of the old Brahmana, if you wish to stand by your promise, let me do everything discreetly. You just say when the younger Brahmana should at all turn up and ask for the marriage with my sister. You say, I can't remember so extremely clearly. Then I would chase him out of the door. So the young Brahmana, who had been on pilgrimage, came indeed to remind the older Brahmana of his promise. But the older Brahmana, being totally under the control of his young and belligerent son, said, I can't remember very exactly what I said. I'm a little old and senility is there, senility or whatever it is. I can't remember. The young Brahmana said, how do you dare to claim such a thing? Look, you look ragged. Your dhoti is not 100% intact any longer. How can you claim the hand of my very aristocratic sister? You get out. But the young Brahmana said, this was a sacred promise. It was given in the Holy Land before Gopal. Gopal was witnessing it. Ha! Said the... don't worry. Ha! Said the young aggressive Brahmana. If Gopal was the witness, he should bear witness. Let him come here and give a witness talk. So the young Brahmana left. He went all the way to Vrindavan. He cried before the deity and said, you please save the honor of these words of the old Brahmana. You please come. The town was Vidyanagar, and you bear witness. Oh, said Gopal. Gopal is always up to something. We have a little Gopal Shila, and he moves the whole world. When he wants something, all of a sudden, when we stay at people's house, the people start to run and bring cloth and fruits and vases and flowers. He has his way to get his desires. So Gopal said, I'm a very large deity. I mean, I'm made of stone. how do you expect me to walk all the way to Vidyanagar? Marble can't walk, no? Well, the young Brahmana smiled. My lord, marble also cannot talk. So Gopal was defeated by logic, says Prabhupada. So he said, okay, you bugged us. I also wanted to leave Vrindavan. It's just my own plan a little bit. Oh, this is confirmed from the altar itself. Let us do like this. You walk ahead. I cannot allow you to look how I walk. My walking is my private affair. But you will know that I come behind you by the tinkling of my anchor bells. And every evening you must cook sufficient quantity of rice for me. Simple. So the Brahmana did so, and on the way he explained something. He said, my lord, you are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. You can come and bear witness. And they walked for a long time. It took a few months, I hear. And when the village saw that Gopal was there, huge Gopal with big legs, outside of the village, they understood Gopal had come to bear witness, and the argument was settled in favor of the young Brahmana. My dear devotees, such stories as this, are explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita because they fan the eagerness in the heart of the devotees to see the Lord by visiting the temple in the see him in the temple. This is a good eagerness to come and be eager to visit the Lord every day in the temple. It is very nice. And Gopinath or Jagannath or Gopal, they are not made of marble. They are not made of wood. They are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. And to a faithful devotee, they reveal themselves. They speak to them in their hearts. When a faithful devotee has some confidential question or feels he is stuck in his life, if he goes and prays to Radha Gopinath, we are here in this temple, or as Mahaprabhu, he was bent to go to Jagannath in Puri, the Lord will absolutely maintain his devotee. That is his promise in the Bhagavad Gita. So this way, this walking of Sri Chaitanya to Puri represents the desire of each soul, and therefore the desire of each one of you to come closer to Krishna and to eventually be in his association. We learn from this journey, this eager journey of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the true aspiration of each soul, something which he really desires, is to meet Lord Shri Krishna and to serve him favorably and to please him. So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked towards Puri, a very nice incident took place, which I read in the diaries of Govinda Das, the one who went with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a servant. There is a very nice journey, and what happened is now so important that you need to listen very attentively. Have you ever asked yourself, from where will you obtain bhakti? Where is the good place to go to if you want to have bhakti? Is it that you want to chant more, sit more in kirtan, or visit the deity? Bhakti, my dear devotees, is transferred from the heart of one devotee to the heart of another. In the first devotees, bhakti overflows in his own heart and looks now for a suitable container where it can flow into. And that is only the heart of another devotee. Bhakti cannot flow on the ground, or cannot grow, cannot flow. I don't know where it cannot. It can only be contained in one singular container. That's the heart of a devotee. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his love journey, on his journey to meet the Lord of his heart, on his journey to Puri, he met several people, unlikely people sometimes, and his bhakti, which was overflowing in his heart, flew in the heart of these people he met. It's described that he had a huge golden figure, and he sometimes was dancing, and when he sang, at times he would roar like a lion. His favorite roar was, "Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!"
Yes. He had large extended lotus eyes, and he was wearing a cloth, only it was much shorter. It would only cover from his hip to slightly above his knees. And he had also a shawl around him, and he would dance and dance and sometimes run, and sometimes he would speak to someone who was not visible, and the devotees understood, Mahaprabhu talks to Krishna. Though on the way, he was meeting a dobi, a washerman. Washermen in India have a donkey. They load the donkey with the dirty cloth of the people in the town or the village, and then they go with the donkey to the river, and there on the banks of the river they put a plank of wood, and they put the cloth first in the river, and then they thresh it. They are the original inventors of the washing machine, which also, you know, turns around and then beats the cloth. And as it does it, the dirt moves out. So, this washerman was totally absorbed. He was, so to say, in dirty cloth samadhi. He had no other perception. And also Lord Chaitanya was absorbed in Krishna. So two absorbed men, two absorbed personalities, I should say, met together. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for a moment, came out of his deeply, internally withdrawn awareness. And he saw this man. He saw this man had nothing to look forward to. He was chewing the jute. Every morning he went out washing the clothes of other people. The dignity of his soul was totally lost with this material activity. And he had also no other thing in his consciousness than dirty cloth and washing the dirty cloth clean. In the evening he would So he would wash it, then he would spread the cloth on the beach of the river. The sun would dry the cloth, and then he would load the donkey and go back and give the cloth to his customers for a few conchels. Small conchels, that was the currency. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this poor threshing soul, he felt in his heart the Kripa Shakti, the mercy energy of God, welling up and flowing towards the poor washerman. The washerman saw there was someone with a red cloth kneeling next to him. He immediately looked away. He didn't stop his work for even 1 minute. He thought, if I talk to this person dressed in red, he will entangle me. He will either preach to me or even worse, he will ask me for a donation. So better not make any contact. I've seen this when I was going by train in India. When you have a place, you sit there. Don't look at the people who don't have a place and look at you very smilingly. Because if you meet their eyes, they see it as a silent confirmation for their play, for their plan. They will sit down just next to you and just push you a little bit towards the edge of the bench. So if you start to even make one contact to these smiling people, the end result is you will lose your territory on the bench and will have to sit on the floor, because he will invite his wife, who is usually of impressive size, and pushes you further to the end, and she will invite her sons and grandsons and like this. So don't look at a needy person in India if you are not ready to give him something. So Mahaprabhu said, as if he could read the thought, I have nothing to ask from you. I just asked you, say Hari Bol. The washerman was in panic. I have nothing, absolutely nothing to give to you. All I want you to do, came this melodious and merciful voice, is to say Hari Bol. Now this is a different type of begging. Now, normal begging is done out of a scarcity of the heart. No? You don't have something, you don't have food, then you go to Padmakshi and beg him for food. Or you don't have money, then you go to rich Manu and beg him. It's done out of a scarcity in the heart. But this type of begging was done out of an overflowing heart. Totally different. You follow? He was full of love, Mahaprabhu, and he wanted to share bhakti with this poor soul who had lost his soul into the pile of dirty cloth. The man was still full of panic. I'm poor. I'm with a family. I can't afford to give up beating this cloth for even 30 seconds. Then he heard the voice of Mahaprabhu. He had not yet looked up to see him. If that is all, let me take over. And Mahaprabhu took the dirty cloth out of the washerman's head and started to try to thresh it on the plank. The washerman said, no, 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 I better do this. Swamiji, you're not accustomed to washing. I'm very expert in this. So, okay, you are very persistent. What is it that you want precisely? Chant Hari Bol. This is all? Yes. Chant Hari Bol. So he started to chant Hari Bol. Again, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is not, maybe Mahaprabhu felt it was not the right quality. Hari Bol. One more time. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Then all of a sudden, in Mahaprabhu's contact, in his presence, the name of Hari took over its own course. He couldn't stop any longer. He began to chant, Hari, 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 and soon began to dance in absolute ecstasy, being the most happy washerman which the universe has ever seen and most probably will ever see. The bhaktas were so amused that they smiled. It works again. The electric bhakti of Mahaprabhu is transferred. So then something important happened. The wife of the washerman came. They were so poor that the washerman would not leave his clothes washing at the bank of the river to take even the meal at home. No, his wife would come with a plate of rice and maybe dal and bring it out to him where he was washing the cloths. So the wife was coming, and first she saw her dancing husband and was very pleased. You dance very nice. I didn't know that you have such good style. But then, when she looked into his eyes, she was totally surprised. There was an expression in his eyes that she had never seen before. An expression she could not really define, but it was very attractive. She felt also, as she looked into the eyes of her transformed husband, who used to be a little mental, that, wow, this is, there is something working in him. So she ran to the village and informed the villagers, help me, my husband is different. So they came, they stood around, saw this dancing phenomena. And you know, like they do in India, they started to argue, develop different theories, and so on. But they really didn't dare to come close, because when you see ecstasy at work, it's at both, it's both highly attractive, but at the same time, one has a very respectful attitude. So only one man ventured to come close, and he stretched out his hand and he touched the dobi. My dear devotees, the moment he touched the dobi, there was a transferal of the bhakti shakti. This man was as if he was touching a high voltage, but this is good voltage. He began to laugh and say, I see it, I understand, Hari, Hari, and started to chant also. This is totally normal, transference of touch or by touch. Even items which are used by the Lord still bear this potency. If you come, for instance, to the Gambira and you asked the, that's the room where Mahaprabhu stayed in Puri, and you asked the priest to put, take out the water pot. At least in old times they did this. I think now they are very careful because it starts to break a little bit due to the salty air which is there. The Puri is at the banks of the ocean, salt water ocean. So anyways, if you touch an item which is carried by the Lord or was used by the Lord, you become inspired. I know when our temple in Mayapur lacked funds, they took the sandals of Lord Chaitanya and traveled all over the world. Jananivas, he carried. No? Because, and the devotees touched it because by this divine touch, amazing things can happen. I have actually, and I will prepare this with Bhavish for tomorrow, a surprise for you. I have the water which was washing the lotus feet of 1,000 devotees. Some of them had seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in this planet Earth. And this water will give you bhakti. At the end of the kirtan, tomorrow, it will be distributed by Bhavish, and you will all develop bhakti the next day. There's no question. So this transference of potency is very normal. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami comments, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did in one place, he did it in all other places. Yes. Then the Lord thought, when I go to the temple, I should go alone. There's a deep secret behind it. When you go to meet Krishna, you usually do it alone. Yes, you may come with a group of other pilgrims, but then when you stand before the deity, it's you and the deity. You don't communicate left and right and show how much, I don't know how much money you have in your purse, or talk about the newest mobile telephone application. No, you are just relating to the deity. It's you and the deity. Maybe some of you have noted when you are in a temple, like the temple of Vrindavan during Kartik times. One devotee who is now in our community intends to go there. In the evening, during the Damodarastaka prayers, there are often many, many, many visitors in the temple. It's really overcrowded. You can smell what your neighbor has just eaten because you are so close to his mouth, and you know they're shuffling because everyone wants to see the deities. And if you're lucky, you can somehow squeeze your body in 1 square millimeter, which is still there. But as you're there, it's absolutely full. You feel, I'm now alone with Radha Syamsunda. If you are just making contact with them, eye to eye contact. Have you noted, some of you? Yes. It's amazing. This is the idea of darshan. You are having a meeting with God. He sees you coming. So Mahaprabhu felt, I'm in a group here, but I wish to go alone. And somehow, I told you, Gopal is always up to something. he makes arrangements. Mahaprabhu needed to make an arrangement that all his companions would leave him. So the way he did it was genius. Lord Nityananda, who was with him, had carried his sannyas danda. Now when Mahaprabhu was in one temple, Kapeteshwara temple, Nitai began to, who carried the sannyas stick, began to speak to it. "You stupid stick! You made so many devotees cry because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adopted you as a sign of the renounced order of life, he left all the devotees and they cried. Also, my Lord is supposed to carry a flute, not a stick like you, a dry stick." And then Lord Nityananda, overcome by the madness of love, took Mahaprabhu's only possession, the sannyas danda, and broke it in three pieces. Crack, crack. And then threw it in a river. "Goodbye, stick." There are many esoteric reasons, at least seven, but I want to go on with the Leela. When Mahaprabhu came back, he said, "Where's my sannyas stick, Nitai?" Nityananda said, "It's not here." "Yeah, but where is it?" "When you were in a very ecstatic mood, you leaned on it and it broke in three pieces." "Nitai, you are lying. You took my only possessions. Don't you know that all the 33,000 demigods reside in the stick?" "Yes," said Nitai, "and you shouldn't carry them. They should carry you." "It's impossible to argue with you. So you stay. I don't want to go with such people as you. You either go in front of me to the Puri temple or you go behind me. Take your choice." So the devotee said, "My Lord, don't be angry with us. How can we go before you? We will go after you. You may go alone." And this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. On the final stretch of his pilgrimage to Puri, when he had just seen the massive temple of Puri, he became so overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy that he approached Puri by paying obeisances, one after the other. "I sometimes felt like this when we come from the Brussels airport and we go with a car, higher, and on that one road, and all of a sudden we see the tower of Radhadesh. I thought this would really be something if I would say stop and then go the rest of my time to rest of the stretch to Radha Gopinath with obeisances. The Belgian people would definitely have something to talk about in their boring life, you know." So I don't do it. I don't also. I do it for other reasons. So Mahaprabhu approached the temple in the utmost reverence. When you go to the temple, you should similarly go in the reverential mode. You should understand, I'm going now to an audience with the most important person. Those who live in the Radhadesh temple, they are the children of Radha Gopinath. But it is good if we are visitors to come in devotional cloth, preparing ourselves for a meeting, isn't it? When we have an important meeting, we quickly brush our teeth. We have hair, we adjust it. And we are going to meet the Lord. This is a very important part of the Pancharatra system. Mandir Gamana, going to the temple. It builds up the anticipation. Remember, Mahaprabhu went to Puri. Why? He wanted to see the Lord. He wanted to meet the Lord. He wanted to be with the Lord. And as he was so eager to be with his Lord, he paid his obeisances for the last stretch of the journey. And finally, when he got up and looked at the temple dome, he saw a blue boy. He was blue like a sapphire. And he looked at him with a bewitching smile and took out a flute from his garment and began to play. And in this way called Gauranga, "Come, come, my dear, meet me in the temple. I'm waiting on the altar for you." And that gave the rest to Mahaprabhu. There was no time any longer to pay obeisances. It's a rather slow mode of walking. He ran and ran with the speed of a lion to the temple. And as he came into the temple, he saw his Lord, and all he wanted is to embrace him. He ran towards the temple. The guards saw him coming. And immediately they jumped in his way. After all, they were the guards. They thought, this is a pilgrim who is out of his mind. What if he climbs the altar and embraces our Lord? But it didn't come to that. Before the altar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu fell in a lifeless swoon. He had reached the goal of his journey. The goal of his journey of love. He had reached Jagannath Puri, and the excitement was more than his senses could bear. He was overwhelmed with a flood of bhakti. What happened then is another story, which we will have time to tell at another time. So I request you now. To appreciate our meditative harp player with a massive round of appreciative applause.